Welcome to Heart, Navigating Lipedema Together, where our lived experiences merge with expert wisdom. I'm Lisa Durie, career executive, mom, and stage 3 lipedema patient.
And I'm Dr. Catherine Sayo, dedicated to advocacy, research, and education for a vibrant life while also living with lipedema and lymphedema. Together, we're delving into the complexities of navigating a life with lipedema.
Join us as we embark on a heartfelt journey, unraveling the challenges of weight stigma, anti-fat bias, and the triumphs towards self-compassion at work and in life.
Your voices are welcome here. You are essential in our heart-to-heart conversation. Together, as both guides and fellow travelers, let's explore, learn, and grow. Welcome to Heart, Navigating Lipedema Together.
Hello, hello, everyone. We're back. Right, Catherine Sayo? Are we back or what?
We are. I have to share. We started this as a 6-week. Lisa said, let's do 6 weeks. We'll do 6 weeks for the runway for our event that happened. And then, well, thank you, ladies. You all asked for us to keep coming. So here we are.
Yeah, here we are in an epic way. And I think, Catherine, what's so cool is when we did these 6 weeks and we got the feedback that we got, people were saying, you know, I feel like I'm in your conversation. You know, I feel like we're having a heart to heart. And we both went, oh, that's what we call our events. That's the core value of our community. So you might notice a slight change to this, which is instead of between us, we're now calling it heart to heart because we're going to have heart to heart conversations.
Which is what we do with everything we do now. So we finally, I think it's been happening now for a long time. I think we're finally recognizing it enough to just call it that. What do they say? Call it what it is.
Call it what it is. So, hey, wherever you are, whatever platform you're on, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, if you can drop in the chat where you're live with us, that helps us see the reach and we invite you into the conversation. And it's not just going to be Catherine and I today. We have a special guest and I can't wait to bring her up, but I want to plant a seed for you and say that when you share your story, there's power in that. When you share your story, there's power in that. And so Catherine and I had hosted a webinar about advocating for yourself in the workplace. What do you need? How does it work? How might we? And we did this conversation. And what happened was I started getting outreach on LinkedIn. So our special guest today was in that webinar, reached out to me on LinkedIn. We had a wonderful conversation. And I thought her sharing her story today is going to impact so many more of you. So Catherine, are we ready to bring Diana up?
Absolutely.
All right, Diana, come on up. There she is. Diana's here, everyone. Diana Dimmock. Hello, hello.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, thanks, Diana. Welcome. Me.
Yeah, welcome to Heart to Heart. Let's have a heart to heart, Diana. How does that sound?
Sounds great to me.
That's great. So before I get into a full-on bio, I think what was so compelling for me is your email on LinkedIn, your outreach on LinkedIn was simply, oh my gosh, I went to that webinar and what you shared worked. So yeah. I'd love to just start there. Like, what made you say yes to the webinar? Why did you reach out? Like, what's going on in your world?
Well, what's going on in my world is I was only diagnosed with lipedema in the last month. So I'm a brand new lippy baby.
Yes, and welcome.
I originally was told by my massage therapist that I had lipedema as well as lymphedema. So I have what's called lipolymphedema. And I started to do some research and he said, hey, you should go check out this documentary that Catherine did. And so I started there and I was able to watch some of the webinars, including the one where you said the word because. And that, it honestly hit me like a truck because I realized that for me, I have to give a reason why I need accommodations because that helps someone not only empathize with me, but it's also making sure that I voice why I need that. And I think that's something that a lot of us have probably faced is that Our voices have been silenced, and sometimes by ourselves and sometimes by others. And using that word is really, really powerful. And I'm now an accessibility, not only an advocate, but I'm a consultant and educator as well. And accommodations are part of that. Is asking for accommodations is huge. So I really, really thank you, Lisa, and thank you, Catherine, because without you two, I would not be where I'm at right now creating this course that I'm creating. I'm doing a course on self-advocation and how to ask for accommodations, and it's called Self-Advocation, Shifting Embarrassment into Empowerment. And I'll get into my story a little bit about that if you'd like.
Yeah, let's just take a pause, because what you just shared in a heart-to-heart, like a friend's going to go, whoa. That's a lot. And Catherine's so good at this. I'd love to give Catherine a moment to just presence her, what you're saying, Diana, and acknowledge that. She's so good at this.
I just want to say, Diana, that you went to the very depths and heart of the matter, that so many of us have shame. And that shame is what keeps us from asking for what it is that we need. And it's so fascinating. And just that act is a total act of courageousness.
Yeah. And it does. It takes courage, but it's also an investment in your future self. And I think people really need to know that. Mm-hmm. Is what you do now helps yourself in the future. That's future Diana is going to thank me, and your future self is going to thank you as well.
You know? I'm going to join you guys for a second and just talk about knowing for 1 month. And I'm going to look at the comments, because I know this community. Yeah. Look at this, right? Okay. Yeah. We've got Pennsylvania, Minneapolis. Hello, everyone there. And yes, when you think about a month, you're in a massage, they're working on you, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, we think you have this thing and you should go watch this documentary.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things I've noticed is we've waited so long to figure out. And when you figure it out, and I don't mean wait, like we're just sitting around waiting for it. No, we're like trying to figure this out. And then when it clicks, it's like, how fast can I take action? I now know what this is, but then it becomes this big overwhelming. Where do I start? What do I do? How many things can I possibly do at once? And Diana, the reason I wanted you here so early in your space because of the conversation we had was, I think the way you talked about releasing the shame, because we talked about body size and how do we ask for accommodations at work even before we knew what we had. So I'd like to do, I think, three things in our time together today. One, you're in Canada, and we know Canada needs every advocate on their feet for sure, doing whatever they can, or in their chair with their voice, wherever they are. We know we need to talk about Canada. I also really hope we can share the story of your successful thing with the benches. I'm just going to plant that seed for folks. And then third, just what you've learned so far in the short amount of time about the community and, you know, what it means that as we come together in heart-to-heart conversations. Anything you want to add, Catherine? And then we'll let Diana choose her own adventure.
I think that's perfect.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I will bring up a couple of stats just because I think they are important. So lipedema is not recognized as a disease in Canada currently. So that's, I think, our main barrier right now is we have to get it recognized so that we can make a change, so that we can get all the other things that come along with that. There's no training provided for doctors right now. Unfortunately, I ended up having to bring information to my own doctor, and manual lymph drainage massage therapists and occupational therapists are the ones that know the most about this right now. And so that's how I found out. There's also no health coverage for any of the garments, any of those things that I have found so far. And there are no surgeons in Canada to provide lipedema reduction surgery to improve mobility and quality of life. And I want to quickly touch on that bit for a minute, because when there's no surgeons, that means we're going out of country, and out of country starts at about $15,000 Canadian. And that's a lot of money. Like that's half a car, or maybe that is a car. But also we're having to go out of country. So there's other added financial aspects to that as well. Patients are actually remortgaging their homes and they are using all of their retirement savings to be able to afford surgery. Now, I don't know about you, but if this was a heart attack, would patients have to pay out of pocket in Canada? No. Would we be refused care or not given care? No. And I think that's a really important thing to bring up because we need care just like other patients with other medical conditions, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's one of the things that I really wanted to bring up as far as Canada goes.
I think it's important. And Catherine, I'm going to ask you to comment on it because one of the things that Catherine's been spearheading, I mean, she's the person who created the documentary that even got it on the map for people because they could see it through the patient's eyes. But a paper just came out that I think is going to help Canadians too. I know that it's not a Canadian paper, but Catherine, you and the 9 other authors defining the research case definition, how might this be useful for Diana and her Canadian, actually the world?
Well, you know, Diana, I will, in fact, I will put the link in the chat to the paper. It's just being published in Lymphatic Research and Biology, which is an academic scientific journal. But it's really looking at the definition of lipedema. It's interesting. First of all, there's been so little research over the years since it was first identified in 1940 by Drs. Allen and Hines at the Mayo Clinic here in the U.S. But of late, the past 10 years, they've started to do more research. Even with the research that's being done, in order to have rigorous research, you need to know that you are, that your subjects have the disease. And there's been no map for that. There's been no roadmap for that. So over the past several years, there's 10 of us that have worked on this paper defining what is lipedema. How do you know it's lipedema? Because the diagnosis is what's called a clinical diagnosis, which is an assessment based on history, based on symptoms, based on physical palpation. It's not like, you know, with diabetes, you take a test and you find out the level of your sugar in your blood. Lipedema doesn't have that. So what the paper provides is an actual framework, is what we call it, a framework for a lipedema diagnosis for research, but that diagnosis applies, framework applies to diagnosis. So it helps any clinician who has any interest at all very quickly to be able to understand the complexities of the disorder, how it presents, and that in fact it can be diagnosed, which is pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to that one because I love bringing research to my doctor, you know?
What's really cool about it, Diana, too, and I think it's important for your Canadian community to know that there are graphs and charts and criteria so that you don't have to just have your CLT say, I think you have this, but you go into your doctor and say, look, this is real. These are the things. Look, I have all these things. And then let's talk about it. So I think in my opinion, it's a game changer because it's never been defined in this way before. And it's going to help with the research, which will help with getting treatment and getting it recognized. So it's, Catherine, congratulations again. It's a major deal. So I wanted to say that when you're bringing up the statistics, because it's frightening. And there's a lot of people around the world who understand. And then there's so many more who don't. So the statistics matter. Mm-hmm. And if we can, I'd like to shift a little bit to one of the topics today is how to advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. So you bring the paper in and advocate for yourself. But Diana, you have a wonderful story about, you know, staying in a job you love, doing work that you love, and figuring out like, oh, I can't stand or walk like I used to. So yeah. I think it would really help people if you'd share that story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was when I was working for a museum in 2021. And I started out, I was super excited about the job. I was doing a job where I would be interpreting history to the public. And right before I started the job, the week before, I ended up injured with a leg injury. And I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to be able to do this job? I really want to do this job. I'm super passionate about it. I love it. How do I do this? And I realized that I was going to have to just talk to my supervisor and tell them that I came in with an injury. And it made me embarrassed. It made me feel very vulnerable to share that. And I did it anyways, because I realized that it was either that or I wasn't going to have the job. And so for me, I talked to my supervisor. And I said, hey, I have a leg injury. I still want to be able to do this job, but I do need somewhere to rest. And this is a very long, long museum. It was all outdoors. And I said, is it possible to get some benches put down just so I can rest along the way, so I can continue to do my job, but so that I have some place so that I can rest as needed? And she said, yep, let me look into it. And so we worked together and we were able to find benches to put out onto the street. And so we put out all these benches and worked great. I was able to use them. And then by the end of the summer, my leg had started to get better. I was able to do the full walk and everything else. But what I realized is that I wasn't the only one using those benches during the summer. So I realized that seniors were using these benches. I realized that parents with kids were using these benches. I learned that care aides were using these benches. It really affected more than just me in a positive way. And that's when I really realized the power of advocation. Is what I did for myself initially ended up helping so many other people. And that's what I'm all about, is helping everyone, helping other people as well as myself. And I've learned to add as well as myself, because I think a lot of the times as women, we put everyone else ahead of us, and we just need to bring ourselves back up to that same level as everyone else. It's not above anyone, but it's to the same level as everyone else. And yeah, I realized there was so much power in that. And that's what started me becoming an accessibility consultant and educator, is I wanted to do this full time. I wanted to make a real change in the world.
Catherine, I know that's the first you've heard that story. I want to just give it a moment to let you reflect and respond, because I'm watching it. Mm-hmm, like there's so much going on through in your head. So what are your thoughts?
It's that I really love what you say, Diana, when you say that advocacy leads to empowerment. Because being able to take that step, as I said before, I think it's an act of courageousness, but it's also an act of self-love and self-care, which is so hard for many of us. It's we talk about it all the time in terms of, how do you make yourself a priority and make your care a priority when in some ways the culture is saying it doesn't matter, you don't matter, this doesn't matter, when in fact it matters very much? And I think that's what you're stepping into. And I think not only are you stepping into it, you're modeling it for us. You're modeling it for the rest of us. And I think I want to celebrate that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. That's exactly it. That's why I named the course Shifting Embarrassment into Empowerment, because that's what it was, is for me, is I came in embarrassed and I realized the thing that I came in embarrassed about actually made me empowered at the end. And it was my strength in the end, because that advocation piece where I was so embarrassed to do was really something that helped other people, but also like helped me realize that that was important, you know? And I'm no longer shrinking myself to fit into spaces or to be accepted. And that's a big part of that.
That's so wonderful. When can you give details about your course coming up? When, where, how do people register?
Yeah. So the best way to do that is I'm going to be putting up a link in my LinkedIn here in the next week or so, and they'll be able to register directly through that. You can also send me an email if you'd like, if that's easier for you. But the course itself is basically all of my lived experience advocating for myself, as well as everyone else that I've talked to that have talked about advocating, including Lisa saying that word, because that's in there. And I thank you, Lisa, because I put that in there, and I realized that, you know, some people don't always know where to start when it comes to advocation. And I broke it down into steps. It doesn't have to be an in-person face-to-face conversation. Sometimes that's very intimidating for people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's an email. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's bringing in a script with you and just handing it to a doctor if you're too intimidated to talk to them person to person. And that way it's manageable for everyone, but it's also going to start with whatever comfortable level that you're at.
Yeah. Might I join in just a second on this word, because there may be people that didn't go to our webinar, and we'd love to give everyone the same tip. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time in my career in corporate helping people prevent burnout, and then I burnt out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know how this goes. When I burnt out, I started to realize I hadn't advocated for myself. I hadn't asked for what I needed. I had put all my needs aside. And so what I've learned with lipedema is you are ripe for burnout as well. So we did this workshop to help women with lipedema figure out how they could bring up what their needs are in the workplace. And the sample I gave was this research study on the word because, that when you ask for something and you put the word because in there, you have a much higher likelihood of getting someone to stay open to your idea. Mm-hmm. So in that example, because is great. And yet there's a lot of people that feel like because is justifying. And I shouldn't have to justify. I should just have what I need. So I've been playing around with other words, you know. So for me, one of the things that I really needed was flexibility in the workplace when I was returning from my burnout. And I would say, I care so deeply about this job, and I know I'm at my best when I can rest. You know, so I didn't say because I need to rest. I just said I'm at my best when I need to rest. And then my boss was like, yeah, what do you need? And I said, well, the commute is horrible and I want to come in later and whatever, right? It was fine. But yeah. I needed to figure out what was underneath my ask and why was it important to the decision maker. It couldn't just be about me. It had to be about the work. And I think your example of the bench was, hey, I love this. I'm great at it. I don't want to miss out on doing great things for the museum. This would help me be at my best, right? Yeah. So there's just this nuance of owning not just that you need something, but why it's going to benefit the business too. And it could simply be so that I can be at my best in this role. You know, for me, one of the things that I know for sure is I need my legs elevated. Mm-hmm. I do. So I have a footstool under my desk, and I went to my husband. He's not my employer. He's my partner. But I just said, you know, at the end of the day with my legs down like this, they're swollen and they hurt. My CLT had said, if I could raise my legs, it would be better for me. And, you know, because it would be better for me, can you help me find a footstool? You know, he doesn't need one more thing to do. He has plenty. But of course he went and found the footstool, right? So just explaining it and, you know, here's why, or you may wonder why, let me tell you, or can I tell you why? All of those nuances can help you advocate for yourself in a way that doesn't make you feel selfish and helps the employer, the husband, the sister, the neighbor, the landlord, whoever, understand a little more beneath it, which is a heart-to-heart conversation. So there's my little tip on the word because.
And I really love what you said about I'm at my best when I can rest, because I think we think of rest as not doing anything, but really it's adding to our health. It's making sure that we have time to come back and be at our best selves. So I really love that, Lisa. Well, and that's exactly it is. Yeah. You have to be able to ask for it, and you have to give reason for yourself, but also for the employer if that's who you're advocating with. But also don't forget, you can come with your own solution. You can say, hey, if I come with this footstool, I'm going to be able to do what I need to do, right? Yep. And that's really powerful, because when we come with a problem, sometimes they don't know how to help us, but we know how to help us, right? So don't forget that you have that power too, of you can bring in your own solution. Because, and this is why advocation is so important, and self-advocation is so important, because no one else is more determined, invested, or capable than yourself to advocate for you.
Right. Yeah. I you know, one of our guests is here from last week. Crystal's here. And Crystal, if we can, Gail, can we pop up Crystal's comment? So happy to see so many amazing women connecting, right? So let's all say, hey, Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
Thank you for this, right? We're thrilled to be here and loving how we might be able to support Canada even more, with especially with what you're doing too. And I think there's a couple other comments in here. Yolanda's here. Saludos from Argentina. Mm-hmm. Yay. Wow. I'm so glad you're here. I'm just looking to see if there's any other ones here. Catherine, do you see any we want to bring up? I saw one earlier. Italian gone carnivore. Yes. Yeah.
I want to know more about Italian gone carnivore. Email me, please.
Yeah, so I can relate. I went to physical therapy appointment and the therapist diagnosed me on the spot with lipedema. I realized there was so little in the medical books that troubled me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting. So when I thought I had lipedema, I went and found someone on the web who said, you know, lipedema, manual lymphatic drainage. And mm-hmm. When I met with her, I said, do I have it? And she's like, I can't diagnose. And I was just heartbroken. And she said, but I can give you the look, like keep going. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh man, why can't we just go there? So I love that a physical therapist gave Italian gone carnivore, yes, on the spot. This is what's up.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I have to pop this up.
Yeah.
Hi, Christine. Christine says, Italian gone carnivore needs to be the title of a course. I agree. Italian gone carnivore, put your name in the chat for me. I want to follow up with you.
That's so awesome.
No, I love that.
That's awesome. Hi, folks. Juanetta's here. Oh, Juanetta's here. Hey, Juanetta. This is great. Yep. People are connecting. Awesome. So Diana, we had three topics and I'm so much here. I forgot my third one. This is heart to heart. I would say I was so excited. I forgot the next thing. We had Canada. We had accommodations. Oh, and we had your story. So I think, yeah. Anything else you want to share about your story? Just in the journey. That's a heart to heart right here.
I think the biggest thing that I've realized just in this last week, is that the hardest part with lipedema, for me personally, was realizing that because I wasn't getting anywhere with weight loss, because I wasn't able to make a real change in my body over so many years, what that really did to my confidence, what that really did to my belief in myself, because I didn't believe that anything I did made a difference. And so at some point I stopped caring for myself. I stopped eating properly. I stopped all of those things because I just didn't think it mattered anymore. And I think that's one of the things that this diagnosis can give, is it gives hope and it gives understanding, because that phrase that my MLD therapist gave me was, it's not your fault. There was a lot of relief with that. It was amazing, but there was also a lot of grief with that. And I think that was the biggest thing, is I realized that I didn't try hard enough. I can make a change, but I didn't know how. And I think that's a really important thing to bring up, because I think a lot of people are going to relate with that, where we just stopped believing in ourselves that we can make a difference. And I'm here to tell you that I've made a difference in a lot. It's since September, since getting my lymphedema diagnosis. And my life is so much different now and so much better now. And I really want to give that hope to people, because even though there's no cure, I want to say there's no cure yet.
I'm going to let that soak in for a second and just say that. Right? Like, yeah. Me too. I'm going to say, and me too. And I'm going to say, when I first figured it out for myself, I was so relieved and angry at the same time. The polarity of my emotional range of feelings at one time, I was like, I don't even know what this is happening. And I just, because I know so much about, as an executive coach and a public speaker, that when you can hang on to hope, there's hope, right? So you got to look for it sometimes. And the fact that this documentary happened and I could see patients crying with relief once they got a diagnosis, I was like, okay, I got to figure out a diagnosis for me. And then what happened for me was, well, wait a minute. I have a platform. I can help people figure this out together, which is why I reached out to Catherine. Like, how can we spread the word, especially inside workplaces for me, because that's where I live. Mm-hmm. And I think that so many times at work, I watched everybody eat the burgers and the onion rings and drinking the beers. And I'm eating my salad and my hummus and celery sticks, no pita, and nothing's changing. Mm-hmm. Right. And I just watch everyone and I'm just feeling like isolated at work events because I felt alone in my process. And, you know, not wanting to show my body at offsites or wear dresses to the gown, you know, the galas that we had for the sales teams and everything in between, to then go, wait, I didn't do this to myself. Wait, there's this thing. Mm-hmm. And so what I really, really hope in this conversation here today is that whatever is sparked for folks, that they can remember this phrase is not your fault. And I love to say, and there are things you can do. We don't have to give up on ourselves. And, you know, Catherine coached me from the beginning, and I went from being in a scooter to walking without surgery. That's not saying I'm not going to have surgery someday, but I'm like, how do I help myself right now with the holistic approach of Lipedema Simplified? Because I knew I had done damage to my body with my mind, my choices, and my despair. So what can I do to get back to loving myself to then take that next step? So I think, thank you for sharing that, Diana. And Catherine, why don't you share your journey of despair to hope?
Oh, I want to say that, I'm always hesitant. I had a rough, there are some people where surgery is not a good match, and I was one of those. When I had surgery, I almost died, and it took me a long time to get back from it. But that's where I started to explore the holistic approach, because I realized that I, not unlike others, wanted a magic bullet, wanted a magic solution, wanting the cannula to take away the fat that I'd been fighting for many, many, many years. And in that whole process, what I realized is what was needed is, what can I do right now? What can I do today? What can I do that's going to make a difference? And how can that action be kind, be loving, be gentle? And this whole holistic model evolved from that, because with surgery or not with surgery, it doesn't matter. You still need all those components that we work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Catherine. I'm going to say, as we wrap up, one of the things that I had mentioned to Diana was the community-driven box of hope called Emmy's Box of Hope. Mm-hmm. And the reason I want to bring it up right now is for people that are just learning, or they're like, how fast can I get to surgery? There's things you can do before surgery. There's things you can do after surgery, but surgery alone is not going to, that doesn't cure lipedema, right? It may reduce pain and volume and all kinds of other things that go with this, but there's more to lipedema than surgery. And so I just want to highlight Emmy's Box of Hope, because there's information to advocate. There's information to give yourself a big hug. There's jokes. There's cooking. You know, there's all the things to lighten this and make you feel less alone. So Diana, I hope you get to borrow that as well for yourself on this journey. And I'd love to give you a chance to have a final thought here as we wrap up for today in this heart to heart. What would you like to leave us with? An inspiration, a tip, something to reflect on?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is to find the joy in the movement and to find something that you can make sustainable for yourself. For me, it was dance. Dance was something I've always loved, and I got back into it in August, and I've been doing it ever since. And I found a body positive and a fat friendly class, and that was a big thing for me. But also, like you guys were saying, is community is huge. I remember you guys saying, don't do this alone. And I didn't realize how important it was not to do this alone until I started going to some of the conferences and meeting some other people who have this, and meeting yourselves who have this, because that community part is huge. And then they are going to be able to lift you up when you can't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge part of it. So thank you both, because I really appreciate that you were willing to chat with me, and also that you were willing to add me as part of your community.
Oh, we love having you here, Diana. Thank you for reaching out on LinkedIn. You know, I mean, you sent me an Instagram. And that was it, right? That's the part of like, we're all here to support each other. That Catherine did that for me when I reached out. So when people reach out, that's when we can help, right? You need to let us know you're here so we can help you. Catherine, what would you like to say to wrap us up today?
Yeah, let me use what Diana just shared as a bridge, because June is Lipedema Awareness Month. And we usually have a lot of virtual stuff going on during the month so people can come. And we're doing something different this year. We tried it out last year, and it was successful beyond our wildest dreams, which is having heart-to-heart together meetups, heart-to-heart circles, we call them, meetups all over the world, really. So it's very simple. Someone steps forward and says, I'll host one, picks a place. So last year I picked the Panera Bread right down in the little mall near my house. And we had six women gather from the Boston area. It was wonderful. And after having had the pandemic for so long, it was a way for us to be together. Little by little, people left. And by the end of the time I had been there with one of the other Lipedema ladies, we stayed another couple hours, and we were there like 5 hours just chatting. And so I just want to put that out so people can give it some thought. And if you're interested, be sure to let us know.
I'm so excited about these. Because, you know, we are wonderful at connecting hearts virtually. We do that. We know how to do that. And we also know that when you sit across each other at a table, there's nothing like, you look like me too. And we walk like the same. And what are you going to order? And what about me? And how was your day? So we are building in that in-person component in these heart-to-heart circles. And I'm so excited. So with that, Diana, thank you for advocating for yourself and for reaching out and for being in this community with us. Catherine, thank you for being what I consider the original heart guide, right? And so if this was useful to you today, please like, share, comment, help us with this algorithm, send this to your doctor, share it with your employer, share it with your bestie. In it together is where it's at. This is a heart-to-heart conversation from us to you, and we'll see you next Monday. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Heart to Heart, Navigating Lipedema Together.
We hope you found our conversation insightful and empowering. Remember, you're not alone in your journey with lipedema. We're here to support you every step of the way.
And if you'd like to learn more about lipedema, the best place to start and receive expert insights rooted in research is at lipedema-simplified.org. Also, if this was helpful to you, please help us spread the word by liking, commenting, and sharing this episode. We're in this together.
Until next time, take care. And remember, together we can navigate lipedema and its impact on all aspects of our lives with strength and resilience and lots of heart.